travel isn't just about movement, it's about discovery, opportunity, and the stories that shape our world. Welcome to EJ, The World of Travel, the podcast where we explore how travel connects people, businesses, and cultures. I'm Tony Doe, and every episode we bring you insights, trends, and real stories from travelers, industry experts, and entrepreneurs navigating the global landscape. So whether you're a frequent flyer, a business owner eyeing new markets, or someone simply curious about the world beyond, you're in the right place. Let's take this journey together. So Nena, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony, for having me.
Awesome. So you've been a strong voice in African tourism for years. What inspired your journey into this space?
Wow, that's an interesting question. So let me go back to university days. I was going to do I read sociology in Covenant University, and we were supposed to do our project in our final year. And I was looking for a project that could connect to what I was studying, sociology, right? Everybody else wanted to do something that had to do with women, children, politics. And I just wanted something different. So one day, I was in the bathroom. Great things happen in the bathroom, guys. I was having my shower, and then something says, tourism, Hawaii. I screamed in the bathroom. I'm sure everybody in the bathroom was wondering what was happening to me. I literally ran out, went to dress up, and I ran to the library, the school library, and I went to go look for Hawaii, because it really had books, encyclopedia about different countries. And I found out that Hawaii economy, their GDP was living on tourism. Then I did more research, now find out about Nigeria. Then I found that Nigeria had not one state, not two states. All of the states had not just one or two, more than three tourism potentials, tourism destinations. And I'm like, why are we not utilizing this? And I was like, no. I'm going to do my project on tourism development in Nigeria. So I remember sharing the topic I wanted to do with our HOD for our department. And the guy told my supervisor that, how does sociology connect with tourism? I told my supervisor to go back and tell him that, Oga, there's a lot that has to connect with sociology and tourism, and that if he didn't allow me to do this project, that I was not going to be happy with him. Anyway, thanks to my amazing supervisor, that's Dr. Abimbola, who was able to get approval, and that was what I did for my project. Tony, I hate research. Okay, no, I don't hate it anymore. I like it now, small form. But that was like the most interesting thing I ever did when it came to schoolwork. Like, I enjoyed the project so much that I actually went to the destination. So I had two destinations as my case studies, Olumo Rock and the slave trade, both in Abeokuta, because my school was in Ota, so it was easy for me to go to those places. And I actually created, I can say that I'm one of those people that actually did have project assets. If you know how Nigeria system is, most people don't do it themselves. They usually hire someone or have someone that they pay to work for them. I did this project myself. I got all the feedback. And it was such an exciting project. At that period, I was doing the project with my dad, because my dad worked in the UN then, and he had told me about UN tourism a long time ago. And my aim was to work there one day. So he was helping me with the project, but God bless his soul, he died before I graduated from school. But that also inspired me the more that my dad was helping me with this project, and I'm passionate about this thing. I needed to make my dad very proud. And Tony, that project pushed me from a 2-2, because I was in a 2-2, to a 2-1. Like, wow. I said, okay, I think I found my calling. So I told myself that when I left school, I wanted to work in a tourism company. I graduated from school, and I was at home doing nothing. You know how that 1-1 before you get to NYSC. And I was bored. I mean, energy bunny. I can't stay in one place. So I told my mom I was bored. So she told me to reach out to one of my aunties, Mrs. Ulama Ibuna. She's the owner of Tour Brokers International. So I asked if I can work in her tour company. And I was like, auntie, please, I'm bored. Can I come and work with you? And she said, sure, come. And I got to see the back end about being a tour operator. Now, I was lucky enough to relocate myself to work with them, my NYIT. So I stayed with them for 1 year. One of the things I enjoyed, okay, let me tell you what I hated. What I hated about being a tour operator is that you package the tours, put all the calculations, Now put it to your client. The client say, I'm not going again. That means you're annoying me. But what I loved doing was marketing it. I didn't know it was marketing back then. I can sell you a destination and I'm not being there as long as I've done my research. And that was such a exciting part. Anyway, fast forward later, after NYC, I left Toll Brokers and I went to oil company. And you know, back then, when you're working in oil company, even now, it's a big deal. I was making more money. So the plan was to go and do my master's, but life happened. I was enjoying my oil and gas money and I moved on. But while I was in oil and gas for almost like 8-9 years, I was still involved in the tourism space. So even in my office, people knew me as a travel girl. So if they wanted to travel anywhere, they'll come to me and I'll recommend them to my people, Toll Brokers International. And then I started blogging about destinations I've gone to, places I love. Love was there, right? And then Mrs. Loma will enter my DM when I say, I don't know why you left my company. You're not where you're supposed to be. Like, what are you doing in oil and gas? My auntie, I'm making money. So, you know. Anyway, you know how it is when you're making money and you're enjoying all the money and stuff, but you're not happy? Fast forward 7 years later, this year making me 8 years old. I turned 7 last year. I don't regret it because I'm doing what I love. The only thing is that all these things I'm doing, you need to add up. And they're making me billions, not millions only. So yeah, that's where all the passion came from. Daddy used to travel a lot back then. And he was one of the people that inspired me to go into travel in the first place before I knew what tourism was about. So I could say my daddy inspired it for me because he used to send postcards from all the countries he'll travel to. I still have some of those postcards, by the way. And those things used to inspire me to want to travel, to explore. And anytime he came back from every country, I would go and ask him for the coins and banknotes and he would give them to me. I still have those right now. So those are like my inspiration of traveling. I think the tourism part came in when I was doing my final year project in university. And it all just added up that this was my space. This was my happy place. That even if I'm not paid money, travel tourism was my happy place. I could always want to be there. So I can say that daddy was my inspiration. And of course, my final year project in university got me to this point where I am today.
Awesome. I just found out that you are currently the program director at Goge Africa Foundation. What's that like?
Yes, sir. I'm currently doing my master's in tourism and media and communication, and I'm trying to connect it to tourism. So I need to work somewhere where I could also learn the back roads. So I reached out to Goge Africa, and luckily for me, they were hiring and they wanted to focus on their foundation. So their foundation is more like a give back where they use all the resources they have with their tourism connections, with their cultural event, to give back to younger ones. So my role is to work with them to do events that connect to these younger ones. For example, they usually have a summit, youth summit, where they bring people in the industry or even outside the tourism industry to come and talk to kids based on a theme, right? Then they have cultural dance competitions among secondary school, where, of course, secondary schools come and they dance with different cultures and all that. And they have a training for youths, mostly people who are in the tourism space, younger people in tourism space who want to come into the tourism space. So my role is to ensure that these significant events are coordinated and done according to the Goge Africa values, right? So, yeah, it's been quite interesting because balancing that with my master's and also learning the ropes about what they do when it comes to media communications and also their foundation. It has been quite a lot, but very, very interesting. I'm learning a lot behind the scenes. So yeah, that's basically what I do. And that's what I am learning, working with them in Goge Africa as a director of program.
That's absolutely fantastic. Walk us through the Ajala Nene persona and what inspired your podcast's unique name.
Okay, so when I wanted to start my tourism business, I was like, I wanted to have something that just makes you different, not just your name. I've forgotten what that thing is, but I'm sure you get what I mean. So I was like, what name can I give myself? And then I remember that when I was very young, my mom used to say that I used to like Waka Waka. Ajala, she used to call me Ajala, I like Waka Waka. And I Googled to find out what Ajala really meant. So I remember that this guy called Ajala Olabisi. I've forgotten his full name. Back then in the 1980s or 1970s, He was a Yoruba man who was in Europe. He would wear his abada, that is Yoruba attire, with his head, with the kapila and everything, and ride his tricycle. So his plan was to ride around Europe with his tricycle, and he got a lot of media attention. Even world leaders wanted to meet with him. And also he got that name, Ajala the Traveler. In fact, I think even one of our Nigerian veteran artists sang a song about him. Ajala travels all over the world. So I was like, okay, I like that. Anyone that is called a traveler is called Ajala here in Nigeria. So I said, okay, my nickname growing up was Nene. So I put it Ajala Nene. I mean, Nene that loves to travel. So for me, that was something significant because my mother already prophesied it in my life. And it's been what's been helping me build my own personal brand apart from my company brand, which is Nene Owa Hub Limited. Now, funny story, Nene Owa, when people hear Nene Owa, they believe that it's my name, Nene, and I put Owa. Now, in Igbo, which you're an Igbo person, Nene means, it's my other name, my middle name is Nenechi. That's where Nene comes from. So Nene means to look. Owa means world. When I was very young, once again, when I was very young, my auntie, my mommy's immediate elder sister, used to call me Nene Owa. Right? She just used to call me that. It was just a nickname she gave me. I don't know why. Maybe they were prophesying to my life. So when I was looking for a company name, I went to my mom and said, I was trying to look for a company name. I got one company name in Yoruba. So I'm even married to a Yoruba person. So I wanted to give homage to my husband's tribe, you know. So there's this thing they call Orike. Sorry, I know I'm going around. But I promise I'm getting somewhere. There's this thing called Orike in Yoruba. Orike is a special name, like a special title. It's not praised in Yoruba. So this is my husband. One of my colleagues at work, he used to call me, or he still calls me, what's that thing again? Abeoki. Abeoki means, in English, I bring joy, like the beauty of a peacock. All right? So I use that name, Abeoki, to open my business. CAC said, nope, somebody already has that name, you cannot use it. Gotta look for another name. I said, hey, whoa. It took me like 1 month, though, Tony, to look for a company name. So I got frustrated. I went to my mom. I said, mommy, I need a name for my company. I will need an indigenous name. The mommy says, how about Nene? It means see the world. Why don't you use that? That's the name my auntie used to give. I said, oh my goodness. I ran to CAC and lo and behold, it was available. Woo! So a lot of people think that the Nene Bear is my name. It's not. It's just coincidental. Once again, prophesying in my life that Ajala Nene and Nene Owa actually mean something that has to do with my travel. So yeah, that's how Ajala Nene came in, Nene Owa came in, and so far so good. We are seeing the world. And so when I wanted to start my podcast, I still knew that I wanted to use my Ajala Nene and I see the world. So I said, okay, fine. Since this is an international thing I want to do, because as much as I'm local, I also want to go global. I said, okay, a lot of people don't understand what they know what I mean. So let me just use the English world and still put my Ajala Nene. So that's how my podcast came with See the World with Ajala Nene. That's the back end story.
Awesome. So the business is what gave birth to the podcast.
Exactly.
All right.
It's one of the things that gave birth to the podcast. Well, if I can tell the real story about what really gave birth to this podcast. In 2023, I was looking for what to do to celebrate World Tourism Day in September. We know it happens September 27th every year. Mm. And I was talking to my neighbor, basically. We're talking, and there's this competition that his company does for young people in different industries. And I've been following them for like years. And I now said, this is your company. Well, I know they do anything for travel and hospitality. I'm always seeing, I see art, I see dance, I see drama. What about travel and tourism? And he goes, what are you guys doing in that industry? Hell, I said, what? I said, what do you mean? I said, don't you know about companies like Waka Now, Junior? He said, yeah, he knows that, but we that are the people called, what are we doing? So we talked for a while and he told me, why don't you spotlight some, at least some tourism people who are doing great things and see how you can put it out there in the media. So I took that challenge. I said, okay, fine, this time we're going to celebrate World Tourism Day. And I picked about 100 tourism professionals. I spotlighted them within the whole of September and it created a lot of buzz. People were very happy for being recognized and all that. Then one day, one of the people that I spotlighted calls me and said, come in, you've been doing so many things to spotlight us. What can we do for you? I said, I say, I don't do anything. I just did it to celebrate World Tourism. And then she goes, why don't you go for interview us? Do either a podcast or YouTube, interview us and let people know about us. Literally, like, inspired me to do that. I said, okay, fine. I did my research. I found that's how I now came to the podcast world. And when I found out how much it would cost me just to do it myself, I ran away. But I told God, if you want me to do this project, bring the right people for me to partner with. And lo and behold, I got to meet the founder of African Business Radio and WOKFA, and we decided to do a collaboration. And I love podcasts. And so far, so we have the YouTube version and the audio version of most of all the podcasts around the world. And that alone for me is a big win, because see, the world is about making sure that people know what your continent is doing and promoting Nigeria and Africa and promoting the people that are making it happen. So yeah, that's actually the back end story of how the podcast started.
Let's talk about tourism advocacy and impact. You're a tourism promoter and a visibility strategist. How would you explain this to, say, my 11-year-old son?
My son is 11, so recently I've had to explain to him what mommy does.
It's exactly why I asked.
My son said, mommy, you do a lot of things. You're into voiceover. You're a podcaster. You're a tourism person. How? I said, yes, my mommy is using all her to do one thing. Anyway, so a tourism promoter is someone that does anything that will spotlight the tourism industry. That's in layman terms. And the reason why I also am a visibility strategist, because I found that I don't find joy being a tour operator or a travel agent. That's building the packages. I find joy in marketing it. I did a lot of things that could promote the industry, the destinations, the people who work and working with the tour operators themselves. And then from there, that's how I said, I came into the world of media and communication. And I told myself, okay, fine, you're doing this in tourism space. What can make you stand out? So during the COVID period, I had like a coach of mine who told me, Nene, tourism is not moving now. Why don't you do something else in the industry? So that's how I branched into coaching. And I started teaching people what I've been doing in the tourism space that makes people get seen and stand out. And people seem to like the whole idea. So I said, okay, let me combine this with my tourism. So that's how the visibility thing started. And that's how I'm using that skill of social media marketing, digital marketing, events management, project management, to use all these skills just to stand out in tourism space, create that niche when it comes to media and communication. Reason why I've gone back to do my master's so that I can put all these things, all these skills, podcasting, voiceover, artist, event management, project management, all together to be able to say, okay, yes, I am a tourism promoter, and these are the ways I'm doing through the media and communication. But I hope that was a...
That was very elaborate.
The layman term, if you don't understand.
Well, it works. It works. I like how you were able to explain how other skills you had already acquired and applied became the very essence of the foundation for what you began to do with, tourism promotion and visibility strategy. So it's really brilliant. I'm looking at local communities now. Local communities are practically the heart of, tourism attractions. But what do the communities themselves, what role do they actually play in shaping how destinations are being promoted?
They play a big role, though, because the truth is that, like, let's use Nigeria, for example. Now, like I said, when I did my project, I discovered that every state in Nigeria, we have 36 states, right?
Yeah.
Each state doesn't have one tourist destination, not three, more than five. So, and in those countries, if a country like Hawaii that doesn't have half of what we have, call themselves a tourism country, so what are we doing with what we have? But over the years, I found out that the reason why we've not been able to really promote tourism, we have so many reasons. But one of the reasons is that the locals themselves do not appreciate what they have.
Mm.
And if I can use Rwanda as an example, Rwanda is a perfect example of when you talk about sustainable tourism. The locals themselves are the ones that are preserving, protecting, conserving what they have. Look at the gorilla trek now. I heard that it costs about $2,000 now just to go and see gorilla, which we have here in Akwa Ibom State here in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
People are coming from the abroad to come and see gorilla trek, see naming ceremony of gorilla, which we have here. But do you know what makes Rwanda different from us? They have owned it. This is their thing. And they see how it's bringing money into their, just that their tribe or that village or that town, if I can use that word. They see the value. So if you come and poach, if you come and poach a gorilla, now them go hold you. They will be the ones to deal with you before they give it to the authorities. I feel that a lot of, not just in Nigeria, but a lot of African countries don't know what we have. The Western world come to us because they have something they don't have. That's natural resources, the cultural preservation. We are not earning that. So local communities, their job they have is own what they have, protect it, build it, see the value of what these things can bring to their local community. And I'm telling you, if we have everybody in every state, in their different local government, managing what they have, tourism will boost in any of those countries or any of those cities or any of those towns. You get? So that's the work they have to play. Owning what they have, preserving it, taking care of it, so that when people come to actually explore your country or your local community or your city or your town, it's bringing in revenue, not just for the city and the country, but even for the locals themselves, the community members. I say tourism is the octopus of any society because it affects every other industry. If you agree with me, agriculture, we have agrotourism, we have food tourism, we have fashion tourism, opportunities like, right? Local community can see that benefit of how these things affect them. There's got to be a limit for each of them.
Of course, there's still other things involving government policy and security too to look into. Because of time, let me quickly run through this. Let's go back to the podcast again. What's the mission of See the World with Ajala Nene? And what gap does it fill in the African tourism podcast space? I know you've answered this in one way, but let's really spotlight the podcast itself now.
All right. See the World with Ajala Nene. When I started, like I said, I was inspired to start it. It wasn't something like I just woke up one morning and said, oh, I want to start a podcast. For me, the reason why I spotlighted 100 people was to make a point that we have people in the Nigerian tourism space doing amazing things, but not just helping the industry, but also helping the economy. Now, the only way we can spotlight those people is to put them out there to the world. So as a visibility strategy, apart from using social media to do that, I found that podcast goes wider than social media. Why? Because of my partnership with Africa Radio Business Show, they're able to put me on all the podcast platforms, international, Apple, Google Podcasts, you name them, right? Spotify. And my hope and joy is that somebody in Alaska will hear my podcast and say, oh, which of these tour operators or tourism professionals would I want to work with to bring people from Alaska to Nigeria? Oh, which of these tour operators that Nene is spotlighting that would like to bring my organization to come and work and do something in the tourism space? Because I'm spotlighting let me answer the question when I say, what makes my podcast different? My podcast is spotlighting the people who are actually making the tourism industry work in Nigeria. And by God's grace, I'll soon expand to other African countries because I want them to be, I'm using that strategy for people to see them and to eventually want to work with some of these tour operators. And when they end up working with them, they're going to be bringing money into Nigeria. And not only that, we're bringing people from the international world to come and see what we have. So if you listen to my podcast, I have a section where I do a Wanderlust section where I spotlight a tourist destination in Nigeria or in Africa before I now interview one of the tourism professionals that I want people to know about. And the reason for having that section, which comes in first before the interview, is to let people know that, okay, well, I'm sharing with these people. This is the one destination. If you want to go to the destination, this person I'm interviewing, you can actually reach out to them to take you here. So that's my dream, that people in other continents will hear about Nigeria's tourism and Africa's tourism and will not be afraid. Because I think one of the problems we international will have is trusting our professionals. And I don't blame them because in the past, and even recently, people actually, they reach out to people and they scam them, right? I remember one time I did a blog post. I was doing a blog post about tour operators when I first started on my blog. I used to do interviewing of tour operators. So let's say I did the blog in 2019. By 2022, someone reached out to me and said, "Oh, I was searching for Comedy Tonight. He was in the US. He said, I found that I traced my lineage to Nigeria and I want to come to Nigeria to visit, but I don't know who to reach out to. A few people have reached out to are not giving me information, but I went online and I saw your blog post about tour operators. Which of these ones should I work with?" So I connected him with one of the tour operators that I knew that would be able to help him. And a year later, this guy came to Nigeria and he was so happy. And that's because I spotlighted a tour operator he could work with. And his dream of coming to Nigeria came true. So that's my hope too for the podcast, to be able to bring people, get people to see the people they can work with, just to come and explore our country. So yeah, that's the whole story.
That's it for this episode of EJ, The World of Travel. If you found this insightful, don't forget to subscribe and share with others who love to explore the world in new ways. For updates, show notes, more travel insights, check out glstravels.com/podcasts or connect with us on social media at glstravelsng. You can also send an email to tony@globallinkstravels.com. Got questions or ideas for future episodes? Reach out. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep moving, keep exploring, and keep discovering your world.